tonight, I'm titling this message, The Blessed Follow After God. The Blessed Follow After God. And so we're coming from the first division of the psalm. I'm asking Dre to read all the verses together, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about each one.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Thank you. And looking at these particular verses tonight, we want to understand that this psalm pretty much sets the tone for many of the other psalms that's going to be coming after it. Sometimes people refer to the psalms as songs or a psalter because it was quite lyrical and poetic. We're going to be looking at these, and it is as though there's great wisdom that is to be found in these particular verses. I know I will not exhaust it all, but we're going to try to pull out something that will be perhaps of great comfort to us tonight, or at least will remind us as we are trying to live this Christian journey. This verse begins, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And in my studies, I was looking at various commentaries, and one of the words that continue to pop up as a translation for this word blessed is the word happy. Happy is the man or the person that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Another particular passage that I was looking at in some commentary said that it was a person who had a mental state of joy. Now, I want us to kind of look at this as those who profess to know God. When we look at this, we want to understand that our life, as viewed by God, as prescribed by God, is set to be a certain way, regardless of how we might even feel in a given situation. This word, blessed, I was looking at it, and it said that it was plural, and that when it was talking about the man was one person. And they didn't seem to give much commentary on it. But when I look at that and I say that this word blessed is plural, there is great abundance in the blessings of God for one who chooses to continue to follow after him, for one who will continue to walk or live in his precepts. That particular person is going to have a life of peace. I say regardless of situations. Is a verb here, the first verb that is given in this particular verse here. We want to understand that when God says something is, it is reality. There are scriptures that have been given from God to man so that we can read about him, know about him, and know what's going to be the end of our life if we follow after him. There is a reality that is found in the scripture. This scripture says, blessed or happy is the one who doesn't follow after the wicked counsel of the ungodly. This word counsel, one might think of it as being the schemes or the plans of the wicked, those who choose not to follow after the word of God. Those who reject God's word and have a lifestyle that is antagonistic toward the desires of God. What about you and I? If we're to be blessed, we can't choose to follow after the things that are going to be of this world. Happy is going to be the state in which we find ourselves. The tone that we can see when we go through these verses, it's a tone of seriousness. It's a tone that is reflective about life. It's a tone that gives us a warning that there is a particular way that we can go. Will we choose the right way? and the tone also should be one that's joyous. Blessed is that individual that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, when many persons talk about this particular verse right here, they will often pick up on these words that are action words, walketh, standeth, and one who sits. Now, you could look at that as being a progressive way in the way of sin, or a way that is not chosen by God for us to follow, and that is an application that could stand. One of the commentaries that I looked at, and I happen to like what this particular person said, is even though you can look at it that way, it talks about the totality of evil, of one whose life is involved in sin and who chooses to disregard the promises that are found in God's word. This person that is going to be blessed is going to be blessed because he's thinking about the covenant that is given by God, one that can be delivered from a life of sin. Well, you say, Gary, well, when this particular passage was written, was it talking about Jesus or so forth? Well, we can understand that the scriptures pointed to Jesus. But even so, the people of old had the scriptures that were given by God. God's scriptures were to be life unto them. God's scriptures was to be provision unto them. When God had given them the things that they should do, the way that they should live, he was protecting them from a world that would pull them away from his protection, that would pull them away from his provision. So when we look at this, we're understanding that the psalmist, when he wrote this, he's saying that you have got to be separate. You have got to disassociate yourself from the evil ways of the world. If it's outside of the will of God, you've got to stop, and you can't walk in that way. When we look at the world, often the world seems to be prosperous. The world will even feign itself to be quite spiritual. But the things of this world, we must continue to understand that it is temporal and that it will have a lasting value in eternity. But what might seem to be good for the wicked, what might seem to be prosperous or advantageous for the wicked, it only lasts but for a moment. And as we go through some more of these scriptures, we're going to see that the psalmist talks about this. It says that we're not to be in the counsel of the ungodly. What can we liken that to in our time today? There are family members who might despise the word of God, and that when we come in their presence, it might make them uncomfortable, and even to the point where they prefer that we not come around. There might be people in our business or our colleagues and so forth who might not like it that we live a life that is distinct or separate or holy for God. From this school, whether it's a fraternity or a sorority, if they don't endorse or live by the things of God, we must understand that we've got to be separate and distinct from a system in this world that will pull us away from the word of God. This word walketh, if you look in the King James Version, it's got an E-T-H on there. And it kind of gives us an understanding that this is something that happens continually, almost like it's the habit, it's the routine. It should not be the routine for those of us who say that we're the children of God to be influenced by a life of sin or those who might seem to be prosperous. No, the blessing is not for those who are in this world, but the blessing, this peace, this joy is for those who separate themselves for the cause of Christ, who separate themselves for the glory of the kingdom. This way indicates a manner of life. Lord, have mercy. We don't sit in the seat of the scornful. We don't want to be around those who mock the word of God and make light of it, who reject the word of God and speak as if it is not true. This first verse, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of God. We can understand that the one who walks in the counsel of God's word, that individual is blessed. So what may seem right in the world is not. So we should not listen to those who are scoffers and mocking and making fun of us. They may injure our heart, but Lord have mercy, they shouldn't injure our soul. And the Spirit of God within us should give us the ability to continue on. When I think about these verses, it makes me think about Deuteronomy. And I just want to kind of pull a little bit in, and hopefully you can kind of remember some of this. We're not going to read it. But when God was telling those people in Deuteronomy how they should teach their children, he mentioned certain times that he should do it. You speak to them when you lie down or when you sit down in your home. You speak with them when you're walking by the way. You speak to your children, teaching them about my precepts, about my truth, when you walk by the way. You see, our life is to be so focused on the things of God that we become a part of his plan, that his will becomes our will, and we're not focusing so much on the things of the world that we can't be identified with God. There is a contrast. I say this is serious because God is letting us know something here. Let's go to the next verse. But this person's delight is in the law of the Lord, and it is in the law of the Lord that this person will meditate day and night. We see the contrast here. The one who follows God is going to be blessed. The one who follows the way of the wicked is not blessed. The one who follows God has a delight, a joy, by seeking after that righteousness which is only going to be found in the Word of God. It says, but his delight is, this is a reality whether we understand it or not. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And when we look at this word law, because we've been kind of going through the Old Testament, you might think of the five books that were written by Moses, and you could say that is true. But when we think about the Word of God, the Bible refers to it as the gospel that was given in the Old Testament, and a gospel we can understand in retrospect that was given by Christ and his disciples. So when we look at this word law, it's encompassing the mighty scriptures that were given by God, which is to be a nourishment to us. Our blessing comes from following after the Word. Yes, our delight, our joy, our intent should be to follow these scriptures. What does that mean? We've got to know what the scriptures are saying. We've got to learn what God's will is for mankind. We must study the scripture so that we can grow within the scriptures. And then it goes beyond that. We got to actualize. In other words, we got to obey. Studying the scriptures and knowing the scriptures, if it's void of obedience, it's not a true intimacy with God. To be truly blessed by God, to truly have this joy that this is particularly talking about, in a world of sin, we got to have something that the world does not offer. This world does not offer an eternal life in peace. It does not offer eternal life in God. When we accept, study, live by, it becomes a part of who we are, our identity. We understand that we have been delivered from a world of sin and shame. And we keep our heart with all diligence because the Word will keep us. This world doesn't have anything to offer us but a fall. It offers us a fall. Imagine if Adam had kept the Word of God. He would have kept the way, and his delight would have remained in God. There would have been no fall. We can learn from many who have gone on before. Our delight should be in the law of the Lord. The next verse says, the latter portion of this verse says, and in his law, or in the Word of God, he meditates day and night. Again, we're looking at this contrast. When looking at the word meditate, it said that it meant to mutter or to murmur, if you will. Back in the ancient times, many times they might not have the word readily just for everybody, so they would often memorize the verses, some in passages or some whole parts. But they would memorize it, and often throughout the day or throughout their life, they would speak these out, not trying to speak like people say today, speaking and it's going to happen, but focusing on the truth of God's word, thinking about it throughout their daily routine so as to be reminded, so as to be influenced by the things and the truth that are found in God's word. So if we look at this word meditate today the way we think about it in our Western society, we might say, just reflect on it. I'm not going to say that that's wrong. I think we should reflect on it. But there was something that it was in their hearts that they could actually speak this word out. The word of God, we know through his scripture, even in the Old Testament, God wanted that his word was to be on the heart of man so that it could be in his heart, so that when issues would arise, in life, he could know right from wrong. This division of the psalm is contrasting the way of the wicked from the way of the righteous. We have decisions to make in our lives. Would to God that we spend enough time in God's word, that we feast off of it, that it becomes more necessary than our daily food, that we can begin to understand that our spiritual man, he begins to die if we're not feasting off of the smorgasbord that is found in God's word. We need to partake of it. Remember, we're talking about Deuteronomy. It said in the morning, basically, in the midday, and at night. Now, I can't tell you when you're going to do it, but the understanding that we should gather from this is in our life throughout the day, whether we are at work, whether we're at home. We should have God's holy word, his spirit inside of us, helping us to understand who we are in him. Are we blessed or are we cursed? The world is a cursed place. The people who follow after the things of Satan, they are cursed individuals. But that's not so, the scripture says. The reality for the one who follows God is he or she is blessed. Lord, have mercy on us. The precepts found in God's word. In the New Testament, we could kind of think about some scriptures. There's a scripture that says, when Timothy receives a word from Paul, he says, and that's from a child, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. These scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. It can pull you out from a life that will lead you to hell. These scriptures, the precepts of God's word, will keep you. They will give you joy. They will give you peace. That salvation comes through Christ. Lord, have mercy. He said it was profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's the concept that we kind of get from this right here in the division, this first division of the Psalms. It behooves us, saints, to become identified with God's word. It behooves us, saints, to become identified with God, that we know that our righteousness is of him. We must know, we must learn, we must be steadfast and keep his word so as not to become corrupt by the system of the world. That counsel is not just the speech that comes by people you know. It's the radio. It's doctrine, false doctrines that are out there. It's this thing that we call globalism or political correctness. When you accept everything, then you have ceased to be exclusive. These six verses are exclusive to the word of God, and that individual is blessed. Yes, it is. And you say you meditate day and night. Let's look at that. You can look at it as being literal, but we're looking at it as the life, the whole of our lives, are blessed by the provision of God, the protection of God, the prosperity of God, and his complete and total providence and sovereignty. So we want to be sure that we're wrapped in his will to the point that it's like his word becomes our breath, that his word becomes our thought. And you say, well, that sounds like too much. Well, I'm just trying to pull something from the scripture here that I believe that it's given us to know. We should have a continual reflection on God's word, and that our life should have a standard that's different from that of the world. Troubled times will come. and there will be times of ease. There will be times when we're before the wicked, and there will be times when we're before the saints, and there will be times when we're alone. But it still should be that God's word is written upon our hearts. Our delight is in the law of the Lord. The third verse says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Now, this is a result of staying in God's word. This individual who has determined not to be so influenced by the things of the world, no matter how it appears, this individual, you and I are to be like a tree that has been strategically planted by a system of irrigation or by a bank where there is always a flow of water. Listen to this. And he shall be like a tree that's planted. Who does the planting? God gives us the ability to make the decision of what we're going to do. But because he has ordained how his way is, once we follow his will, it's as if he plants us. He establishes us, not the way of the world, no matter how enticing it may be to us. Yes, we follow after, and it's as if God plants us. When I was studying and trying to prepare for tonight, whether it be encouragement or reminder or whatever, it was talking about many times that often when they would plant trees, that they would plant trees where they would be sort of like canals where they would have water flowing, and there would be trees planted between these canals where the water could get to the tree, or let's say the roots of a tree. If you know anything about roots, they go deep and they go wide. There is a continual supply. When you and I remain in God's word, it's as if we have that. It's not as if. It is, though. It is that we have the reality of God's spiritual water always nourishing us. For what is the purpose of water? To give life. When one has a thirst, or when the tree is in a drought, if there is a water system, then that tree can be sustained through the drought. I say no matter what the situation, there is a supply that is found in God's word. There is a promise in this. He shall be like that tree. Now, there are trees that are out in other places, other areas, where it's not strategic. Maybe a seed was blown by the wind, and it's in an area where when the rain falls, it's not always consistently falling. We could call the weather capricious, if you will, but it's not that constant supply. And that tree must endure the various seasons. With this tree, God takes care of the tree. God is not going to take care of the wicked. This is what we're to understand, and so our heart's desire is to stay in his word. He's not going to take care of the wicked. The wicked can hear his word and come after him. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And this tree, what does it do? Because of the nourishment, because of the promise found in God, because he is holy, because he is just and righteous, he shall bring forth his fruit in his season, not because of what he does, but because he gets the nourishment that is needed. You and I need the truth and the righteousness that is found in God's word. Our life will then be prosperous. So we need to understand this here, because when we hear many ministers, so-called, speaking for God, they fail miserably. Fail miserably because they lie to the people. They lie to the masses, and they say, if you come to God, then you're supposed to be rich. Nothing in the scripture says that that is so. God might allow it, but the prosperity comes from a life that is guided by his righteousness, a life that is given holy parameters that will keep you and I from following after sin. So our lives can be prosperous because we are obedient. Our lives can be prosperous because we keep that constant supply, like the river that is planted by, the tree that is planted by the rivers of water. So it's not a faith prosperity that's by your faith. Well, if you have enough faith, then you're going to get some money. Or if you have enough faith, then this is going to happen to you. It's not that. We have faith in God's word. If he wants to heal, if he wants to give money, great. But this is a faith that brings a consolation and a comfort, that inner joy that comes only from God alone, who made heaven and earth, that will keep us. The prosperous way of the Christian is that he continues in God's word. God can give him favor. God can give her favor so that on his or her job others might see. But the truest blessing comes is when others can see and they understand this tree is different because of the fruit. His leaf will not wither. This speaks of a greater time than what we might look at in this realm today. It speaks to eternity. It speaks of being saved. It speaks of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Lord, have mercy. There's going to be a day of reckoning, and God's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, and it's the wheat that will be sustained because those persons held on to the word of God. He's going to separate the lamb from the goat. And which side will you and I be on? God, I say, is not going to protect the wicked. The wicked reject him. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. When I looked at the word season, it reminded me that there are times when we look at a tree, it is natural. And some, they say, are evergreen, and they seem to be green perpetually. But we look at a lot of trees, and there are times when a tree seems like it's barren. And then when the season rolls back around, spring and summer, that tree begins to produce again. There may be times in your and my life when things appear bleak. The message is that we're blessed by God. This blessing is not based upon feelings. This blessing is not based upon anything but God's word. So if it's our feelings that make us feel that we're blessed or we're not blessed, then we have looked at this scripture the wrong way. We're looking at God the wrong way. There will be times, for most of us, where we have to endure, but it's through our trials that God can show us who he is. Lord have mercy. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. When we stay in the will of God, we can be prosperous. Planted by God, productive because of staying in God's word, established by God because of eternal life. Let's not focus so much on the here and now. There is a here and after. The contrast, because when we look at the world sometimes, they seem so prosperous. It makes me think about Genesis. God said you can eat of every tree, but there's one tree I don't want you to eat from. They had a decision to make. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from that tree. There is another tree, if you will, metaphorically speaking, that's out there in the world, and it looks like it's so good. But when Christ comes back to claim his own, it's not those trees that's going to be prosperous. They will receive their just reward, and I just have to say, it's going to be damnation. No prosperity for those. Listen at this next verse. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The contrast is, what's the word, emphasized here. We've looked at the way of the righteous by standing God's word. It is emphasized here for those who do not remain in God's word, who choose to reject it. They're not going to receive eternal life and the blessing and peace that is found in God's word. No, there's no protection for them. They are like the chaff. What is the chaff? It's that useless part when you have stubble, if you will, from a plant. It's like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In other words, it will not endure. Jesus speaks, and when John was saying that he must decrease so that Christ could increase, he said something about Christ coming back and he was going to purge his floor. He was going to gather the wheat and he was going to toss the chaff up and the chaff would be burned. There is a condemnation and a judgment. There's a judgment of righteousness that we can continue in this way and be saved. No worries. There is a judgment for those who reject God's word. Yes, the ungodly are not so, but they are like that useless chaff that is temporary and will be burned and driven away. I want to read just a little bit from Isaiah. Hopefully you won't mind my doing this, because I just want to read a little bit about this. I'm going to pick up at Isaiah 5, the 23rd and the 24th verse, and I'll try to, I just want us to see what one passage, another one that is, says about chaff. This is Isaiah 5 and 23. It says, and it's talking about the wicked. The 20th verse says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil," and so that kind of goes from there. And this is the 23rd verse, "which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness. Their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." When we look at a passage of scripture like that, we see again a contrast between those that would follow God's word and those who would mock God's word and just live any kind of way. The message is the same. God is unchanging. So for those who reject God's word, if we turn away from God's word and we walk away from his righteousness and it becomes a pattern in our life and a part of our daily routine, we have left God's provision. We have left God's protection. Why else is this written? Blessed is the one who stays in it. Jesus said, "If you love me, you keep my word." The ungodly will not be blessed nor protected by the word of God. They are like the useless chaff which the wind blows away. The fifth verse, coming back from the first division of the psalm. Therefore, this is the result of the decision of the ungodly. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This, therefore, is resulting upon the decision made by those who would reject God's word. They shall not withstand the judgment of God. God is holy, he's merciful, and he's loving, and he's given his word for all to take and for all to live by. But he's not going to force it on anyone. So when one decides to live outside of God's will, when that judgment is here, you can't stay God's hand from the judgment that he said is going to befall. You can't withstand it, and nor will you be able to be a part of the blessed. Those who can comfortably say, "I am with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. I have been protected. I have been nourished. Though my life on earth might have had great toil, I was steadfast. I was like that tree." Imagine a person that is rooted in the holy will of God. Roots go way down. When the water from the irrigation system or the river, it sinks down into the earth, the roots can gather it, and it goes up into the stem or the trunk of the tree, giving it that holy and spiritual nourishment that is needed. We've got to be in God's word. The ungodly will not recognize it, and God won't recognize the cries of the ungodly, because they understand the impending judgment that is about to befall them. He gives us the time now. We can look at the world and see that things look well for them, but we got to remember eternity that speaks beyond just life right now. The ungodly, because of their decisions, they shall not stand in the judgment. You can't withstand it. And those who have lived outside of God's will, committing sin, they won't be able to be a part of the assembly of God, the assembly, the children of God, children who obey him, who knew him, who studied him, whose joy was to be in his word. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God is sovereign, and he knows the end for all of us. But he's provided a way for us. God says, if you want this peace, if you want to be like this tree that is planted, that is sustained, that is protected, no matter what the season, no matter what it appears to be for the ungodly, you need to stay in my word. The God knows the way of the righteousness. I mean the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There is no eternal life in righteousness. There's no eternal life in God for them. There's eternal damnation. That's suffering. That's pain. That's being separate from the Holy One of God. The Word tells us that the way of the world is an enmity against God. God's Word is here for us to partake. It's here for us to grow. It's here to establish us. We can have that constant flow of the rivers of water that will spring up within us and give us the nourishment that we need no matter what's going on in our lives. God wants us to be reconciled to Him. We have a choice to make as how we live our lives. Will we meditate on God's Word, focus on His blessings, or will we reject it and be influenced by a life and be like the chaff which the wind drives away? Father in heaven, we thank You for an opportunity to go through Your Word. We pray, dear Lord, that You will help us to be mindful of what Your Holy Word says. I ask that You give us strength throughout the day, dear Lord, so that we will yield to Your holy way. Because sometimes it seems that we know what it says, but we have to become truly intimate with You. Help us, dear Lord, to always obey You. Help us to be beacons wherever we are, in our homes, on the job, wherever we may be, and that we'll be found living a life that is pleasing to You. I pray these things in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.